Condon.
Ken Miller.
Oh, mama!
Trent Condon.
Four.
This is Miller and Condon on Des Moines Sports Station. 106.3 KXNO.
Hi, good morning, everybody. Welcome to Miller and Condon. Yes, it's a Football Friday, Des Moines Sports Station 106.3 KXNO. Trent Condon, Ken Miller here for the next couple of hours talking sports with you. Appreciate you tuning in here this morning. Here's what's coming up on the BMW of Des Moines guest list. We will start at the bottom of the hour. Chris Williams from Cyclone Fanatic and Iowa Everywhere will be here. We'll take a look back, a look ahead to what Trent and I both feel is kind of a tricky spot this weekend. Not that they're not as talented as Oklahoma State, they are. But it's just that, is there going to be a letdown? The building will be empty, blah, blah, blah. We'll talk to Chris about the Big 12 and Iowa State in particular coming up here at the bottom of the hour. Hour number two starts in Las Vegas. Wouldn't you like to be in Las Vegas this weekend?
Always.
Right? Is this a trick question, Miller? So Mike Palm will be here, circussports.com. We will talk to Mike about the divisional games and other stuff. Coming up at 12:05, and then Tom Kakert, HawkeyeReport.com. Patrick McCaffrey is practicing. Fran McCaffrey met the media yesterday. Tom was there. In fact, he asked the Patrick McCaffrey question at the press conference yesterday, so we'll do that. We'll look ahead to Ohio State tomorrow. That's on Big Fox.
It is, yeah.
How about that?
That's Gus Johnson and Jimmy Jackson on the call.
I like Jimmy Jackson, so one out of two ain't bad. But
you're not a Gus guy.
No, I'm just not. I'm just not. I never have been. But a lot of people like him and teach their own, right?
I like him.
Yep. Anyways, just not my cup of tea. But I hope it's a good game. It's unfortunate they're both at the same time, but you know what? It's going to happen from time to time. Iowa State finally finishes their sentence because they were sentenced to ESPN Plus for four straight games. They get released after this game, at least for temporary release. Four games in a row. I mean, yeah, come on.
That's brutal.
And some of the opponents, Kansas and Texas, for crying out loud. Beating a dead horse.
Are there any more ESPN Plus games?
I'm guessing yes. Do I know that for a fact? No. Do I have it open in front of me? Yes. I don't see any more. In fact,
the Deuce, ESPN, ESPN, then, Deuce, scrolling through. Longhorn Network, you mentioned that one yesterday.
That one, the rematch in Texas on the 21st. It looks as though there's a whole bunch of what I'm looking at anyways on ESPN, kind of TBD.
Yes.
The U next week for K-State, then the couple on the Deuce, and then a bank of what? How many is that, Trent? Five or six games that don't have a television destination. We will see. Maybe they were waiting just to get through the month of January and February just to see how the standings shake out, right. See if they missed anybody. And I'm guessing the two schools that they did miss would be K-State and Iowa State. Both of them are off to terrific starts. And Tuesday night, rather, they will play each other for the first time in that game at Hilton. ESPNU has it. Well, it was the Big Ten in the spotlight last night. Mm-hmm. And boy, oh boy, what a stinker of a night. I mean, the games weren't close.
No.
They just weren't. I thought, you know, got nothing on. The Jets are getting their brain beat in by the Leafs. I've had enough of that. I love Big Ten basketball. Pretty good matchups. Away we go.
Outside of Michigan, Maryland.
Which was, yeah, I mean, okay.
But Maryland just kind of kept them at arm's distance the whole time.
I never felt, and I didn't see the entire game there. I watched the entire Indiana-Illinois game.
Okay.
That's where I was for its entirety. Purdue-Minnesota tried early. That game was, this game was awful.
Minnesota couldn't shoot.
They couldn't. But it wasn't what I expected. I thought it was going to be a whole lot more entertaining than it ended up being. So let's start there. Let's start with the Big Ten. And,
okay.
And as what we've seen so far, Purdue's
its own tier.
Okay.
We have to. I've been slow to come around, even with the incredible start.
Mm-hmm.
I've been very slow to come around this team, and watching them against Michigan State basically start to finish on Monday.
Yep. Hell of a game.
Watching them just kind of a sleepy spot and not a very good Minnesota team, and just to dominate in that fashion. Watching Edie and his development today, he's always been that kind of guy.
Remember when he got there, though?
Oh, yeah.
He couldn't put one foot in front of the other.
Right. And what he is, and just the impossible nature of guarding him. There is nothing that a collegiate player can do against him physically. He's 7'4", 290.
Yeah.
He has enough movement and athleticism that once he gets the ball in the spot, but it's not just that. It's the passing ability that he has. It is seeing the double teams at such a better rate than he did in the past. I mean, you could get him, right? He'd turn it over.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
That's not the
case. You couldn't play him.
Right. He would, yeah, he might score, get you 10 and 8, but he'd have four turnovers.
Right.
Because every time a double team would come in, if he wouldn't get that jump hook up right away or drop step dunk, you're getting stripped out of there. That's not the case anymore with him. Coupled with the guards. Fletcher Loyer.
He's really
he's
good.
He's a stud.
Yeah, he's really, boy, he can shoot.
He can shoot.
Yep.
But not just that, he's got playmaking ability. They have guys on this team. Braden Smith, another guy. You know, these are not.
He's having a really good year.
They're not highly regarded players by any means, but he is just a steady, smart point guard that's not going to make mistakes. He's going to get it there.
What's he averaging? Is he double digits?
Looking at the numbers, just shy of that.
Okay.
But he just knows how to run the team. Assist rate, 126 in the country. Running the team efficiently every time down. And then couple it with what they do defensively. Every single year, it seems like they're going to guard you on the other end. And do that with a couple of freshman guards, that's not always the case.
No.
But those guys have bought in. You know what you have on the back end of Edie. This is as a complete of a team as we've seen from Purdue in a long time. Are these freshman guards going to hold up? I think so. But is there a wall?
I hope not, because I got a pretty big ticket on them.
Okay. All right.
Is there a wall? Maybe. I just think, look, to me, it's a, at this point, we sit here today, I don't want to say it's a two-team race, because I'm with you. I think Purdue, and then there's a gap. But I think it's when it sorts itself out, you know who I think is going to be standing? Michigan State.
Izzo, yeah.
Yeah. Just because they play everybody in the beginning of the year. They're battle-tested. That game on Monday was phenomenal, on MLK Day. Game at the Breslin. Could have gone either way to produce credit. They go on the road, and the place is banged out, and they find a way to win the game. But then who's next? And the reason I want to keep going to get to who's next, Trent, is because I think we're going to look back at the just after Christmas at those two roadies for Iowa. And how did they lose those games? And what if they weren't? What if they didn't go that way? What if Iowa, who went through that awful stretch there, because I think they belong. I'm not saying Purdue's level. I think that they're in the conversation. I won't fall off my chair if we get to a point and they have one of the four byes.
The Iowa.
Iowa. Has a lot of work to do.
Well, it starts this week. You go to a desperate Ohio State team.
Who's lost, what, four in a row, five in a row?
Five in a row?
I think it's five in a row after Nebraska
got
them.
Yeah, five in a row.
Yeah.
All of them within single digits. They gave Purdue as good a fight as anybody
has.
That
was close.
Maryland, they let that one slip away late. Minnesota, inexplicable. I mean, that's terrible.
You just can't.
Rutgers, they lose in overtime. They had plenty of opportunities to win that one. Nebraska went down to the wire. We know, even when Nebraska's not good, going over there can be tough. And they're all single digits. They're not getting blown out.
Yep.
They have, for a top-end talent.
Well, Sensabaugh's the best player on the team, I think.
Sensabaugh might be.
He's a one-and-doner.
He might be the top draft pick out of the Big Ten this year.
He might be.
I mean, he's that good.
Yep.
And he's such a different kind of player for a freshman.
Well, he's thick.
Yes, he is. But he shoots the ball incredibly. He's shooting 46% from three. I mean, it's just that's an incredible number. It almost feels like they don't go to him too enough. You know, they kind of rely on Zed Key. He's been banged up. And that's a huge part of this also. When Zed Key is at his best, his
and
team
hopefully he's not tomorrow,
is one of the top 15 teams, I think, in the country.
Maybe.
They're that good. But, yeah, Sensabaugh, he is a star. The backcourt has been inconsistent. You know, Thornton, the freshman point guard, he's been okay. Hasn't been great. But I still like the talent of this team. I still believe that they have the right coach there. Yeah, that they have the guy in Holtman that is going to be able to get them the ship righted. But that's for Iowa first, and then you go to the zone.
Yeah.
You know what a house of horrors is.
No, it's impossible.
Yeah.
Right. Well, not impossible. We saw Purdue what they did early in the week, but yes, I agree with you.
What they won once there since the Chris Street game.
That's true.
One time.
Yeah.
And there has been some good Iowa teams that have gone in there and got throttled. Just absolutely demolished in those games. So that's your next two. A desperate Ohio State team, Michigan State.
When's the Michigan State game?
Thursday? That's the Thursday game.
Good. They stay away from each other. Clones Tuesday, Hawks Thursday.
Can they get a split? If they get a split out of these two, I'll start coming around.
Well, you know what? And if I could choose which one you want in the split, I'll take the latter. Take the win over Sparty.
Would you?
Hell yeah. Because I think you're going to be competing with them for one of those.
Sure.
If indeed I'm you know, I get lucky and get one right, mm-hmm. that they are in the hunt for one of those four byes, because Purdue's got one.
Right.
So there's three on the table, and Iowa's right there. They're right there.
Then it's the three-game homestand, tightened up now with the Northwestern game in between mm-hmm. Rutgers and Illinois. Rutgers, they're going to come ready to play.
Sure.
After the way that you went into the rack and won that yep. game, you know they're going to be ready. That's not going to be mm-hmm. easy. Rutgers does Rutgers things. They're a good team. Northwestern, better defensive. We'll see.
Yeah. I mean, they don't have Iowa's talent, but they're better than we thought.
And then Illinois, a sellout.
Yeah.
You know how that's a sellout. It's not going to be all black and gold yeah. clad fans in there.
Mm-hmm.
You remember the Alford game when the Orange Crush made their way over, and they're all sitting around, and right as tip-off was beginning, they ripped off their shirts or their coats or whatever they're wearing, and they all had the orange on. Just a huge section.
That
was after the game.
Yeah.
Tanya Alford, somebody asked him about it. She was in the back of the press conference, and
I remember this
embarrassing
part. Yes, I remember that part.
And then I went on about 15-minute diatribe about what's been embarrassing about his coaching at the University of Iowa. But that was a conversation from many moons back.
Mm-hmm.
That is going to be something we're going to see similar. There's going to be a lot of Illinois mm-hmm. fans that are going to be making the trek over. But that's what you have coming up. We talked about the five-game stand that turned into four. Get to 4-1, we got a chance. Well, they went 4-0 because they only had four of those five games. Now this next five. Is 3-2 enough? Or do you got to have another 4-1 here?
No, I think 3-2.
Three and two. Split.
Yep.
Lose either to Rutgers or Illinois. And then... Purdue after that.
If they manage, and I think they're
just
clearly
in the conversation.
Well, I think they are. I know Iowa State is, so let's go there. Mm-hmm. Let's try and decipher this bad boy.
All right.
Good luck. K-State beat Kansas early in the week. They've got a return trip, obviously, coming up to Lawrence. So let's take Kansas, and is Kansas the best team?
Yes.
Okay. You want to give them the one?
Yes.
Okay, for sake of the... I'm not sure.
You're not?
No, I think they are, Trent, but the conference is so tough.
Yeah, but that's kind of a part of it, right?
Mm-hmm.
What's the worst case scenario for Kansas, record-wise?
Three losses.
15-3.
Three losses.
Even at 14-4.
Okay.
Can you see Iowa State going 14-4?
No, I'm not saying Iowa State's the team. Don't get me wrong.
Can you see Kansas State going
14-4? Maybe.
I can't.
This guy is a witch.
He is. So this is what Kansas State has done. This is their who they beat in the Big 12.
Okay.
West Virginia in overtime at home.
Okay.
At Texas and Baylor, those are two great, mm-hmm. great wins.
Mm-hmm. Well, the Texas one, they scored, what, .116? Was that the game, right?
Yep.
Yep.
The Baylor one, also in overtime.
Mm-hmm.
Beat Oklahoma State at home.
Mm-hmm.
Lost to TCU. And beat Kansas.
Where was the TCU game? On the road?
That was a road
game. Yeah, at TCU, they got blown out in that game. That was last Saturday, right?
K-State still has to go to Iowa State, to mm-hmm. Kansas, to Tech, to Oklahoma, to Oklahoma State and West Virginia. Now, that's not overly difficult in comparison to what it is. Yeah, the first two with Iowa State and Kansas, those are tough, but not overly difficult. Maybe you could talk me into 14-4.
Okay.
Best case scenario, I say, for K-State. And then we go to Texas, because I think that's the tier.
Yeah.
I know Baylor, they'll be fine.
Uh-huh. What is Texas to win the conference at where they sit right now? Might they be worth a stab? That's a talented roster.
It is. I would guess they are something in the range of...
And by the way, how did I miss Caleb Grill under the basket the other day? Did you see...
Undercutting the guy?
Yes. Yeah. I totally missed that.
Oh, really?
We didn't bring it up, did we? I don't think we did.
No.
I completely... Maybe it's because I'm watching on my damn phone.
You miss things.
Ugh.
You definitely miss things when you're doing it there. Conference winner, Big East, Mountain West.
ACC. And there was no foul in that. You know, he took the ball down the floor and made a three.
He did.
So, kind of double whammy there. Got away with one under one basket and scored a three in the other.
Here's your betting odds for the Big 12.
Okay.
Kansas -145.
No.
K-State 5-1.
Okay.
Iowa State 5-1.
Texas is bigger. They can't be much more. Six? Give me eight.
750?
I'll sign for that.
You're going to take a stab with the Longhorns. Had the just crazy game against K-State where they gave up 116.
Mm-hmm.
Lost in the most difficult environment they will see. I don't think there's any doubt on Tuesday.
Yeah.
That will be the most difficult road game that they have had.
Have they gone to Lawrence?
It doesn't matter. Yeah, they're playing 8-on-5, I get that, but just in terms of environment.
Yeah.
There's not going
to
be...
But to be fair, every team plays 8-on-5.
There's not going to be the same vitriol.
No.
There's not going to be the same...
No. Clone fans, they're public enemy number one.
They are.
In the Big 12.
Yeah, Baylor hates them, and Oklahoma hates them. I get that. This was different.
But Iowa State's building backs it up.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right?
And with Tyrese Hunter, and nobody is going to have that same level.
Fair point.
That they saw on Tuesday. Yeah, plus 750...
It's worth it, Chris.
It really is.
Right?
Yes. They're so talented.
Uh-huh.
If Carr gets going, they can beat anybody in the country.
Well, if he doesn't have to match up against Gabe Kalscher, who had other plans last week.
Rice is going to start hitting shots.
Mm-hmm.
I really like his game. He's been good throughout his career. We know what Tyrese Hunter is. And they can beat in a couple of different ways. I like that roster. I like that team. Yeah, plus 750. Might be a family play. Mm-hmm. I might jump aboard with you.
Hmm.
How about Big Ten? Want to jump back to that?
Okay, yeah, sure.
Show you how big the gap is here.
Well, Purdue has got to be significant. I'm guessing Michigan State's the second choice.
So you have to lay minus 300 if you want to bet on the Boilers to win the regular season crown. Your second choices.
Sparty.
Rutgers? And Illinois.
At 9-1. Ahead of Michigan State?
Michigan State is 12-1. This is at DraftKings. Michigan and Iowa are 40-1. Wisconsin, Maryland, 60-1, and we go from there.
So go back to the big. So yeah. So Minnesota is what? You can't have 1,000,000-1. But what would they be?
Let's see. Minnesota and Nebraska both 1,000-1.
Okay. So go to the Big 12 and go to the bottom of the Big 12, and I'm guessing you'd find
Tech.
Texas Tech is not the worst team in the Big 12. I know the record says that they are. I just don't think that they are the worst team in the Big 12.
But they're 500-1.
Well,
that's a well. I mean, they'd have to almost win out.
No, they're not doing that.
Right, right.
Right.
Oklahoma State are both 300-1.
Mm-hmm.
West Virginia, 250-1. I mean, it shows you also the gap that Kansas, along with Iowa State and K-State at the top, kind of created there. But
do you still have the feeling we did early in the week, well, the morning after the win over Texas, that this game against Oklahoma State is a tricky spot?
It's just tricky. It's not difficult.
Well, you should win.
Yeah,
I mean, Iowa State should win. They have a better roster.
Well, Ken Pomeroy has this as a one-point game.
Does he really?
Yeah.
And Iowa State's favored?
Iowa State is an underdog at Ken Pom. And that's another thing. I'm sure when the line comes out and Oklahoma
TJ
State
use that.
Is going to be favored by 1, 1.5, whatever, you know, right there. And publicly.
Yeah, no respect for you.
Everybody's going to be on Iowa State, though.
Oh, sure.
Everybody's going to be on the Cyclones. And that is.
What if TJ brings it up, the lack of respect?
Maybe.
Yeah, I think you have to do something when you go into Stillwater. The building will be 2/3 empty. Half empty.
Oklahoma City Thunder have killed Oklahoma and Oklahoma State basketball in terms of attendance.
Right.
Remember IBA?
Oh, and they tried. Do you remember when they opened up the new building and they brought the smoke or whatever? The what do you call that? Dry ice and the spirit of the old building coming over and taking. No, it hasn't worked.
No, and it's a cool building. It's old. They refurbish it and everything, but it's just Oklahoma City is what real close.
I'm not sure.
And because of that, you know, people are going to use their income. Well, let's go watch an NBA game. As now we have an NBA team in Oklahoma City. That's a big deal,
right?
And
so you're saying it's a football state and an NBA state. We'll see. I think Iowa State is, they're what? How much did you say? 40-1?
Who's that?
What was Iowa State to win it?
They're
5-1.
5-1.
5-1.
Them and K-State are both 5-1. Texas plus 7. Baylor, 15-1. I jumped on TCU, a Final Four bet. Got them at 12-1, I think it was. You like the whole thing.
Yeah,
you
got
to realize teams can't win the
ball. No,
and you can still get a good price.
Yeah, I know.
12-1.
I love long shots.
Well.
Yeah, I know you got to get them home. Here's what my grandpa taught me a long time ago.
Okay.
You know what, son? Horses can't read the tote board. They don't know they're 20-1. They don't know they're even money.
Yeah. I love that one.
He was so missive. He was so great. Anyways, 20 minutes after the hour of 11 o'clock. So real quick on the Football Friday aspect of our program today, we will get to Mike Palm. I know you have. Have you zeroed in what you're going to do this weekend as far as betting-wise on the four games? Will you participate in each and every one?
I will. I have pretty strong opinions. And I haven't changed throughout the week. So just quickly, Jags... I've been about the points all week.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, do you have that lingering doubt that they jump out, you know, Kansas City and run away yet?
It's up to 9 now.
Up to 9.
Yeah.
I don't see me moving off that. Eagles, Giants, I've been about the Eagles the whole time.
Yep.
Not moving away from that.
Yep. There's some eights popping.
It's fine.
Okay.
7.5 and 8, not a big difference.
Right.
Cincinnati, Buffalo, the line move told me all I needed to know. Was Cincinnati and the offensive line woes.
Mm-hmm.
There isn't
it's legit.
I'm going to stay there, I think, with Buffalo. And finally, uh-huh. I've been San Francisco all week. So coming back the other way. Yes, Kansas City can blow them out. And that's mm-hmm. a component.
I think they will, Trent.
The Eagles part, what concerns me most is Jalen Hurts right.
Right.
Is Lane Johnson right?
Is Jalen Hurts running the football?
Those are the two aspects. Uh-huh. In a shoulder.
Uh-huh.
It's still a shoulder injury.
Right.
And you know how, I don't know, one little hit you know, at the right spot could debilitate him at a level. So that's my concern there. Concern, well, it's Cincinnati. Joe Burrow's played behind a crappy offensive line his whole career.
Mm-hmm.
And he's found a way.
Right.
So that narrative that I like, the offensive line, is it that big of a deal? The backups, well, two of the spots, one spot, there's a big step down. But two of the spots, the star wasn't very good.
You went
either.
From average to average.
Right.
Yeah.
You went from a D plus to a D minus.
Yeah.
What's right. the big deal? And Burrow just finds a way. And then the Dallas-San Francisco one, I can't find anything to make me nervous. I know you love Dallas this week.
I think I love them because I can't, because I'm so invested in the Niners. But you know, here's why I love them. It's the latest is always the greatest. And Monday night's game is fresh of mind. And
damn, it stunk.
I get
all
it,
year.
But Dak Prescott couldn't miss in that game.
Against a crappy defense that wasn't very good all season long.
No, I know.
The San Francisco is a different level.
Mm-hmm.
They are the most talented team mm-hmm. in these playoffs.
Mm-hmm. Top to bottom, you think they are?
Oh, yeah. Rookie quarterback that uh-huh. has played incredibly well.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the one thing you point
out. What's the worst of the 8 quarterbacks? Throw one quarterback out this week.
One quarterback out.
Which quarterback don't you? You have to eliminate a quarterback. Lawrence, Mahomes, Danny Dimes, Hurts, Burrow, Allen, Dak, Purdy.
It's tough. Maybe Trevor Lawrence? And I know he's been good outside of the first half last week.
Yeah.
But he's been good for 2 months.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, his numbers have been absolutely incredible. Boy, we should rate those. Maybe after Williams, we got some time. One through eight.
Here's what's crazy. It should be easy.
And it's not.
But it should be easy because there's one guy that doesn't belong on this list. At least you didn't think. And right. he absolutely does.
Rookie quarterback. Mr. Irrelevant.
Yeah, didn't get into the game until when? When was his first? Was it late November? Was it Thanksgiving weekend? Or was it even December?
Might have been December.
And here we are. And his team's favored.
Guy that felt like he regressed in college.
He did. Didn't feel like it. He looked like it. You see Mark Hanrahan's tweet this morning?
No.
I never thought of it. And Mark's ahead of himself. But we may have a Super Bowl that features an Ames-born quarterback against a quarterback who played his college football in Ames. You think Ames would be on the spotlight?
Oh, yes. You got 2 weeks to build that thing up.
Oh, my gosh. I don't know. They sell that bottle that water and sell it all over the country at Super Bowl. How many Super Bowl parties want Ames water? Right?
Hooray.
Hooray is right. Miller and Condon, 25 after the hour of 11 o'clock. Well done, Mark Hanrahan. I saw that tweet, and that was really good. Anyways, time for another $1,000 slam dunk. Go to KXNO.com. Once you're there, you can enter this nationwide contest by inserting the keyword grand. Grand at KXNO.com. Your chance to win $1,000. Your next chance to win is in about an hour from right now. Grand at KXNO.com. Chris Williams on Iowa State. Miller and Condon on 106.3 KXNO.
R-A-D-I-O.
Don't rock the jukebox. Wanna hear some Jones. 'Cause my heart ain't ready for the road.
What is that instrument that plays?
What's that?
What's the instrument that's right here? It's kind of like this. I know I've seen it before. A guy's sitting in, it's almost like a piano, a keyboard. He's got a silver thing on his fingers.
You're asking the wrong guy. I mean, I like the country music where they're blowing into the old bottle of moonshine. That's the kind of country I like.
It's a steel guitar.
Is that what it is? Okay. All right.
Yes.
All right.
My God.
We're struggling over here. We're trying to learn with you, Williams.
I always say that a really easy way to spot real country music from fake country music is if they have a steel guitar.
Well, this one sure does, and it's loud and proud in this bad boy. How you been?
I'm good. How are you guys?
I'm doing well. Appreciate you coming on, Chris.
Yeah, anytime.
We'll get your thoughts on the divisional games coming up before we let you go. But I want to go back to last Tuesday. You were there. Incredible environment. It certainly seemed to be the case. Trent said that, and you may be right, that Texas won't play. And they still have to go to Lawrence. They won't play in an environment that comes close to what they saw on Tuesday night. The whole Tyrese Hunter, the fan base collectively hates Texas now. That had to be one of those nights in Hilton, right, that I think the fan base will remember for a long time.
You know,
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
It might be number one for me.
Wow.
And I've been around since 2003 now. So, I mean, you're looking at 20 years almost of doing this. And, like, for real, like, I just, there was, like, this perfect combination of, like, there was the hate, obviously. Yeah. Don't deny that. But the team was good. So you weren't just, it wasn't just the students being obnoxious, right? Like, that they actually had a good team. And then you had, like, the general angst between the two teams, like, with Marcus Carr and Gabe Kalscher and their history. Caleb Grill and Tyrese Hunter were roommates. A lot of people probably didn't know that.
Yeah, I didn't.
Here's my thing. Like, if Hunter transferred to Duke and kept his mouth shut, sure, people would be sour, but it wouldn't be, like, this level of hate. He transferred to Texas and ran his mouth on Twitter for 6 months. Mm-hmm. And the way things happened behind closed doors via his exit really rubbed his teammates the wrong way. Mm. So, like, there was just so much emotion in that. It was just, you know, it was a powder keg. I felt like when they gave Trey King that tee at the end of the first half, it was to prevent fights from breaking out. Like, we were at that point in that game.
Yeah.
Where, and this was the team, forget about the crowd. Like, I mean, Gabe and Carr, and I think that they have some mutual respect for each other, but I certainly don't think that they're friends like the broadcast would have led you to believe.
Mm-hmm.
It was as intense. But the only thing that I could think of, and I liked this crowd better because this crowd, while it was angry, it still really was celebrating a good game and a good team, right? Like that. I actually thought at the end of the game that the Hunter thing was an afterthought because the game was so well played and it was just really, really special stuff. The Iowa game when Pierre Pierce and Adam Aluska came back,
mm-hmm,
was the angriest I've ever seen it, but it got to the point where it was cringy, where, you know, they were chanting what they were chanting when Pierre had the ball, and probably rightfully so, but it was still like,
right.
It was also to the point, it got to the point Iowa State won the game, but it felt like the game was more about your hatred for Iowa. That didn't come through to me. Like, it was more like, okay, we've really adopted this really fun team that was picked eighth and is tied for first, and we hate Tyrese Hunter. Right? And that's how the game ended to me. It certainly didn't start that way, but by the end of the 40, that's how I felt, at least.
So I brought this up to Ken and Dave Sproul the other day, and they didn't know. Maybe you can help me out. The emoji that the Iowa State Twitter account used after the game, something that Tyrese Hunter had used earlier in the summer when he was running his mouth as he did throughout the course of the summer. Do you know what that emoji means? What was that emoji saying?
I haven't seen it. Is it the one? But I do know that Hunter put that thing out about, like, blowing smoke or something.
Yes, it? Yeah. And then,
okay, that's what it was.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I can tell you the backstory to that.
Sure.
The backstory to that is there was a video that Iowa State put out where it was, it was like social media content, right? Uh-huh. All the teams do it now. And it was somebody asking all the players, what game are you looking forward to the most this year? And Gabe Kalscher said Texas, and you all know why. It's Texas.
Yeah.
And Tyrese Hunter retweeted that in the summer with that emoji.
Aha.
Well. So that's where it all... I hadn't even seen that. You're breaking news to me. But that would... Because George Niang did that, too. So Niang went and retweeted Hunter's tweet. And, you know George lives for stuff like
yes,
that.
Yes, absolutely.
Like he did. George probably had that thing queued, like, 2 weeks ago, just ready to go. And, like, sitting there... I could see him sitting there in his penthouse just giggling, just ready to bring it to Tyrese Hunter. But, yeah, like, that... That's the thing, like, the fans hate him because he transferred to Texas. Like, I'm telling you, behind the scenes, there's not, like, you can see, like, Otzelberger did the right thing. He hugged him, he gave him his best, all that. Caleb Grill and Gabe Kalscher did not do that in the post-game handshake line. There's a lot of hard feelings between those two sides.
Chris, but for a program that's been built on transfers, isn't this kind of two-sided?
Yeah, well, I think that it's not, in my, like I said, I think if he transfers to Duke, I think if he transfers really, I don't think it was the transfer. I think it was there was distrust. There were people that were not telling the truth during the process was more than anything. And face it, like, so they got all these big recruiting classes coming in, right?
Mm-hmm.
They're going to lose one of these highly touted guys to some blue blood at some point. I promise you. You can't keep everybody happy in this day and age. So, yeah, from what I understand of it, like, it was a deal where Tyrese just disappeared, right? Like, he was – you have your postseason meeting. Yeah, I'm coming back. Looking forward to building the program, doing all this stuff. Let's talk about everything, too. Guy's gone for 3 days and not taking your calls, and all of a sudden – brothers bad-mouthing the program to anybody that will listen. So, like, there's ways to do things.
Mm-hmm.
And that, to me, is where this thing all got hairy.
Well, speaking of transfers, it was two guys that had never played Texas before. At least I don't think Oshuni and Holmes had played them before. That I thought, I mean, they were as big a reason as Iowa State got past Texas. Holmes was Holmes again. And Oshuni is playing his best basketball last couple of starts, Chris. He's been really good last couple of games.
I just think he's the difference maker in the team, right? Like, you look at Kalscher, Holmes, and Grill. It's like, you know, you hope two of the three play well, and if you do, you can probably hang. But Shun is the one who adds a different level to the team that they, you know, really haven't had. Like, if you really, like, guys, their post play was awful last year, if you think back to it. And now you've got a guy, Oshun, who the way he's playing, I'm not saying he'll end up there, but he would be a second or third team all Big 12 consideration right now. Like, think about that much of an upgrade from George Condit at the end. And Oshun, like, he's starting to, I talked to him after the game. It was just me and him. I haven't gotten a chance to write anything about it yet, but I asked him if he's starting to feel more, like, comfortable now. And the vibe I got from our conversation was it's kind of like, you know, when you hit a rookie wall in the NBA just because you're, or a freshman wall because you're not used to playing this many games. And like it, and he basically told me, like, I knew the Big 12 was good, but this is a big step up. And now I feel like everything's slowing down to me. And I know I belong here, but it still took me a little bit to really truly realize the type of competition that I'm going up against. And he's consistent now. So they can keep him at this level, and Robert Jones is good for what he is, but whatever he gives you offensively as a bonus,
yeah.
You know, Shun, like, has the ability to bring a double-double and to go out and get 15 on the road at Kansas, or right, and that is something where, and then it just makes the life of Grill and Kalscher, you know, when you're wanting to add some outside shooting, their life so much easier because they're not just getting, you know, people aren't just ignoring the post players like you could do with Iowa State last year. So in my opinion, he is the difference. We know this Iowa State team is good. Can it be a great Iowa State team? I think Oshuni is the key to that going forward.
Unlock him and something inside, and he can knock down an open jumper. He's got a full complement of a game along with the defensive intensity that he brings. Six straight games playing without Jazz Kuntz. He is on the mend on his way back. This team's played really well without him. How do you
what do you do here off the bench? What role do you go with?
How do you do?
This is tough.
And when is he back? After Mizzou, maybe?
Well, I think, like, I don't know this, but I'm just assuming that this was a deal where he probably doesn't have to get rushed back now because we're playing so well, right? I mean, what about Trey King? I mean, who thought he would be this good after taking 2 years off? I actually think it's quite the challenge for Roethlisberger and his staff, too, because it's not like Jazz is maybe the most well-liked guy on the team. You know, this is a guy who it's not a deal where he's out of the lineup and now we got rid of the cancer and everybody's playing well together. No, right. Jazz is the most efficient guy on the team. He was their leading rebounder when he went out.
It's true.
It's hard to believe that.
What do you have, six or something? I think six rebounds a game.
Yeah, like he's the most efficient player on the team if you go off of analytics. I don't know what you do. I think it's a real challenge. I think that they've learned how to play without him, and I think that you're going to have to learn how to play. Because what are you, like, can you pull Watson out now? Can you take away his minutes?
No, I don't think you can.
I actually think King, you know, the physicality that he's been able to bring in the Big 12 has been a real plus for this team. He's shown the ability to hit some threes, that, again, is a bonus. So I don't know. Maybe it's a matchup-driven thing. But Jazz isn't the type of guy that you just can't play.
Right.
Because he's given so much to the program, and he's good. He's not. It's not like, oh, he was a weak link, and now they have this other guy. No, like it's a different style. So maybe, you know, I think they're a good enough coaching staff where they can deal matchup-wise and make it work. But then you have to mesh with all the personalities. You can't tell Trey King, you've been doing this well in his absence, and now you're going to play 5 minutes a game, right? That'll probably piss him off. So you got to figure that out.
A couple more minutes, Chris. We'll let you go. Trent and I both came in Wednesday morning, following the emotional win over Texas thing. Boy, oh boy. Oklahoma State's next. The building's going to be half full. Talk about a different environment. Thought that maybe, not that that Iowa State's going to get picked off, but we both think tomorrow's a tricky spot for that reason.
Yeah.
Do you?
Yeah, no, I really... Here's the deal. You can be confident that Iowa State's a pretty good team, which I think we all are, and still have a ton of respect for the league. I think it'd be really arrogant for an Iowa State fan to just think tomorrow's a cakewalk because they're 11-8 or whatever it is. Like, they might have the best post duo in the country, or not in the country, in the conference, potentially. Not necessarily skill, but they're a top seven defense, guys. This is the best defense Iowa State's seen all year.
So, I've known that.
Yeah, they really. I think they're seventh in KenPom. They are the epitome of what Iowa State was last year. They have a hard time scoring, but they're an elite defensive team. So, you know, you think about what you saw with Iowa State last year. That's the type of team that you're getting, and so you don't know. Like, they could be really good and win at TCU, and you weren't expecting it, or they could get killed. You know, like, so you just. I think tomorrow is a total toss-up. Iowa State is a better team than Oklahoma State, but again, I have too much respect for the league to think that, you know, you could just go into there and just assume anything. And the fact that Iowa State's tied for first in the league, I haven't seen a line yet, but I would guess it's right near a pick'em. That should tell you all you need to know.
Yeah, that's what Trent thought at KenPom. Real quick, we'll get your picks. Last thing, your piece on Conrad Hawley got a lot of run, Chris. I see the guy. I mean, everybody's seen him, right? Standing there, he does not have his warm-up on. He's ready to go in, except he's not going in. But what a really good read. You ought to be proud of that one. I'm sure it got a lot of run.
Thank you. I appreciate it. And it's probably my favorite thing I've ever done.
Wow.
Honestly, everybody can relate to that guy, you know, like it's hard to relate to the five-star guy, right? Because most of us haven't ever been in that spot. But the thing about Conrad's situation is, one, it's incredibly unique. What kind of a human leaves a scholarship at a Power Five program to go be a walk-on in basketball, right? Like, it's just really, really, really unique. So it makes it interesting. But two, it's like, I've had so many people from high school coaches to CEOs of, you know, companies here in Iowa reach out to me about Conrad and like how they've been inspired by it. And how I had a teacher in Wisconsin, a high school teacher write a bunch of Conrad's quotes from that story up on his whiteboard for his students to read. Like, it's just been really cool to watch how he's inspired a lot of different people. And let me tell you a little more on him. So I said to him, I go, you know, Conrad, I think, because I had a bunch of people say, we want a Conrad Holly CEO t-shirt. So I reached out to him, and his response to me was that he would love to do it, but he doesn't want to take too much attention away from the team. This is a guy who's paying for his school, okay? He doesn't even have a scholarship, but he's worried about taking too much attention away from Gabe Kalscher right now. So I said to him, would it make you feel more comfortable if we did something with a charitable organization? Because I go, I don't need to make any money on this, and we'll give Cyclone Fanatics commission on this to whatever. So Conrad right now is working with a group of former veterans to come up with, and he's going to give money from his upcoming t-shirt to that group. Like, that's the type of dude he is. Wow. He's one of a kind.
That's awesome. Great read. Glad you wrote it. Let's pick some games real quick. What's your best bet? Which game is giving you fits?
Best bet. Give me the 49ers. That was the first one I played.
Okay.
At 3.5. They played on Saturday. The Cowboys played on
Monday.
I really like that aspect of it. I was with you. I listened to you and Mike Palm. It's always one of my favorite podcasts. I'm on the Jags. I'm not crazy about it, but I also, it's just, how many times do we see the teams with the bye kind of stutter, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I like the Jags. I'm on the Giants. I'm playing the underdogs. I'm on Cincinnati. I kind of feel like I'm like on the real public side of that one, and then the Bills are just going to trounce them based on where the action's at. But those are the ones that I'm on. The best bet for me, though, is San Francisco. I think that they're the best team in the NFC. And this isn't even a Brock Purdy thing. I mean, you just look at their roster. I think it's the best. And I still don't trust the Cowboys, and now they have this kicker problem. Right. Yeah, I like San Fran.
Great stuff, Chris. That podcast you're referring to, part of Iowa Everywhere. Chris, also Cyclone Fanatic, clearly, and he joins us weekly. We're grateful for that. Chris, thank you. Appreciate it. We'll talk to you next week. Thank you, Chris.
Thanks, fellas. Have a great rest of your show.
Yep. Bye-bye. Good to talk to you. Chris Williams, as we check in on Iowa State, we'll do similar with Tom Kakert about 25 minutes after noon. Mike Baum kicks off hour number two, Miller and Condon, Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3.
Limited time.
Now back to Miller and Condon on 106.3 KXNO. Here's Ken and Trent.
Hi, Miller and Condon. Welcome back to Des Moines Sports Station, 106.3 KXNO. Saved a little time. This is a really tricky exercise.
It is. I've been scratching it out here on the notepad.
Quarterbacks 1 through 8, the quarterbacks that will play this weekend, starting quarterbacks that will play this weekend, 1 through 8. For reference, Brock Purdy got in for the first time in the Miami game. He played a little in the Kansas City game, but Jimmy G got hurt in the Miami game, and away he's gone. So, Mahomes.
Yeah.
Right?
That's the
tricky
one.
Now it gets difficult. Who's number 2 on your list?
Joe Burrow.
Me too. Number 3.
This is where it gets tricky.
It's already tricky to me.
I think 1 and 2, I feel really confident with those two.
Okay.
In that order. 1,
right.
2, yeah. Mahomes, Burrow. We're just talking about, you have a normal playoff team.
Mm-hmm.
No offensive line, other receivers stink.
Right.
None of that. Just the quarterback alone going up, not what defense they're playing. None of that. It's just the quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
Number 3. It would have been Jalen Hurts. In fact, he might have been 2, but we just don't know.
No.
Because of that injury.
Yep.
I can't put him there.
Nor can I.
I can't put Allen there.
I can.
You're going Allen.
Uh-huh.
From what we've seen, this guy that has been pretty...
It's what's attached to his right shoulder.
Yeah, but...
I know, but I get sucked in. You've got an arm, you're my guy.
He doesn't have Stephon Diggs in this scenario. It's just him.
Yeah.
And the quarterback that we've seen, the guy that leads the league in turnovers, you're putting 3rd.
Yeah, because he can run it.
But he doesn't anymore. Where has that gone from his game? That is disappearing.
Has been coached out of him?
I'm sure in a way.
Uh-huh.
I'm sure that is a part of it. We don't need you taking unnecessary hits in October.
But now they do because it's the divisional round.
Right. He's not number 3 for me.
All right, who is?
It is Hurts.
Is it?
It is Hurts.
Yeah. He's been way better than anybody thought. I mean, go back to August, Trent. Nobody had this guy having the season that he had.
No.
Nobody.
No. We thought he'd be good, fine, take a step maybe from what we saw last year. There's other people went the other way, though, with him, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Said it was a mirage. Look at the schedule they played down the stretch. How bad he was in the playoffs.
Going to push him.
Right. Yeah, all that.
Yeah.
I got Hurts there.
Okay.
Number four for you. Is it Hurts?
Yes.
It is Hurts, but you're reluctant.
Because I was going Trevor Lawrence. Because I think he's starting to act like Trevor Lawrence we thought he was going to be.
All right. So our top four are the same. We're just flip-flopping three and four.
Okay.
Your number five quarterback is?
Dak.
It's Dak. A guy that has not played well.
Till Monday.
Yeah. For a month.
And put it all together.
Against Tampa.
Uh-huh.
No chance for me.
Okay, who is?
So I got Danny Dimes still on the list.
Yep.
I got Dak.
Yep.
I got Trevor Lawrence.
And Purdy.
I got Brock Purdy.
You got Purdy as number five in this
Brock Purdy. Is this he's got the best weapons, and maybe that is tainting this in a level
And he's got the best offensive coach.
Yes.
And there are some good ones still. I mean, Andy Reid's not bad.
In this exercise, this is probably stupid of me.
Uh-huh.
But I'm seeing it.
Mm-hmm.
Seeing what I got him there. I'm probably wrong.
So who's your number eight?
Trevor Lawrence.
Oh, I can't go there.
Trevor Lawrence threw four interceptions in a playoff
game. I know he did.
I mean, luckily he had Staley on the other side.
Mm-hmm.
Run the football.
Yeah, which is ridiculous.
I know he is not calling plays. I get that.
Mm-hmm.
But there's got to be a way where you get on the headset and say, run the football. We're up 27-0 or 27-7. Run the ball.
If you're killing Lawrence's first half, and deservedly so, Brock Purdy didn't light it up against Seattle in the first half of the game. It looked for the first time like he was a rookie.
It did. And he has had, there's been plenty of those balls that are, should have been interception.
Yeah.
Every quarterback has that.
Mm-hmm.
Has he had a tick more than a normal quarterback? No. Admittedly, I've watched a lot more than him.
Mm-hmm.
We've been following this story at a level.
It's remarkable.
That, I mean, San Francisco's on in the afternoon. That's where my TV is going and has gone now for the last 6 weeks.
Well, the team, they're fun to watch, and now you have the Brock Purdy angle with it. Where's Danny Jones for you? Seven?
He's seven.
Yeah.
So I got him at seven. Where's Dimes for you? Number eight?
No, it's Purdy.
It's Purdy eight.
Yeah.
That's probably fair. I think I'm tainted. Because, again, we're taking away Christian McCaffrey in this scenario. We're taking away Debo Samuel. We're taking away a good offensive line.
Kittle.
Right. Maybe the best H-back in the game.
Right. Maybe the best left tackle still surviving.
That's pretty good.
Right.
And in this scenario, you're right. You have it right. I got too up in it here. I got too excited about it.
But point being, Trent, this is really difficult to do. Mm-hmm. There's one given, and it's right at the top. It's Mahomes, and then it gets I'm a Joe Burrow guy. He's my favorite quarterback in the league.
And I like Trevor Lawrence, and I've talked about Trevor Lawrence a lot. And thank God for him in that second half of the season because I had a Jacksonville ticket that I was able to cash to win the division. So I was invested in him.
What did you get for that? 8-9-1?
It was 8 + 850.
+850 to win the division. Wow.
No, Danny Dimes, think of what he's doing, though. We've talked about
the wide
receivers.
He's got nobody around him.
And
Barkley in the backfield.
Yes.
I'll give you that.
Okay offensive line.
Yeah.
But those receivers.
You don't know who they are.
They are.
What did Frank Schwab say to us yesterday? Was it yesterday?
Yeah.
He said, I cover the NFL and I have for you. That's all I do. And I found myself looking, who are these guys that Jones is throwing to?
It's wild.
It really is. What a weekend this promises to be. So, 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 so good. Hour number two, Mike Palm will start it off. We'll head to Las Vegas. Catch up with our friend Mike Palm from Circus Sports. He's the Vice President of Operations. And then we'll catch Tom Kakert from HawkeyeReport.com. Our picks before we get out of here just before 1 o'clock. It's Miller and Condon. We're on Des Moines Sports Station 106.3 KXNO.